This week on Beyond the Beats, we talk about new music from Mr. Carmack and Slushy, the DJ Mag Top 100 list. We'll give our thoughts on that as well. And then we're also going to be talking about people who get mad at you for getting in the way of their video recording. All that and much more on this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Welcome to episode 35. Let's get it. What's up, listeners of Beyond the Beats? Guys, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. We genuinely appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for your support as usual. In case you forgot, this is a podcast about EDM news and culture. My name is Samir Singhal, and I'm based out here in New York City. I'm a EDM enthusiast, a fellow raver, if you will. And on the other side of the country, we got my boy, one of my best friends, Alec Prieto, out there in San Francisco. Alec, what up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I got my disco, San Fran Disco, going on at the weekend, which was great. I went and saw Bijou. We'll talk about that later, but it was an awesome weekend. It was nice to get out and go to a show, you know. I think it's been a while since I'd been to one.
Dude, I'm really, really stoked on that, and I know you talked to one of the openers for that show as well, and I love that, man. Like, it's always so much fun to get, like, the perspective of the openers, you know, when they're about to go on, when they're about to play, or when they just come off a set, especially opening for a name like Bijou, man. That is such a great opportunity, so really, really excited for our listeners to hear that conversation. But dude, Alec, were you shocked by this on repeat song that I put into our show notes here?
I wasn't actually. I had a feeling that at some point you'd try throw our listeners and myself for a little bit of a spin there, for a little bit of some confusion. But go ahead and introduce this song, because you know what, man, I'm glad you put it on here, because it's something that has been on my radar before too. I think you introduced it to me.
Yeah, I think I may have, dude. I'm a really, really big fan of this song. But listeners, in case you guys didn't know, the on repeat section, this is a song that has been on nonstop play for me for the past week. Honestly, I'd even go further and say it's been on repeat for me for the past couple of months. I absolutely love this remix. Guys, you've heard of Drake and his hit song God's Plan, but you may not have heard of the Thoreau rework. And I want you guys to take a listen to this song. This is the Thoreau rework of Drake's God's Plan. Take a listen. Bad days, there's a lot of bad days.
Yeah, man, you definitely introduced this song to me before. I love it as well, man. Is there a particular reason why it came back up to you?
No, dude, no particular reason at all, but I just want to give a massive shout-out to Kim and Jeff from Colorado for introducing me to Thoreau, because, you know, those guys, they've been following the pod for a long time, and they're just the sweetest couple, and they also shared Thoreau's SoundCloud with us as well. And so I took a listen to it, and I was like, oh my god, this remix slaps, dude. You know, I did some digging. I want to look into, you know, Thoreau's involvement on this rework. I mean, dude, he wrote his own raps and lyrics to this song, but he also worked on the production of this rework as well, which you can hear. It just gives it a ton of energy to this original, man, and I love that. Like, it really just, it gives a really nice EDM spin to it, so I'm really pumped up on this.
No, dude, I'm really glad that you put this. You know, I'd forgotten about this for a while since you last introduced it to me, but definitely thank you for putting this on my radar again, and it may even be on repeat for me. I won't copy you, don't worry, I'm not going to say it on the
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, no copying
copy
on the show here.
Next week, same as last week, it's still on repeat.
Right, exactly, dude. But dude, let's talk about what we got coming up for the listeners on this week's show, right? We got plenty of new music from the artists that we're watching, new music that's been released from the likes of Brohug, Umek, Mr. Carmack. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Mr. Carmack in just a little bit here. Slushy and Dion Timmer and much more. We're diving into the news and culture section. Alec, you know, first of all, our big topic of this show, I feel like, is going to be the DJ Mag Top 100. I have a lot of thoughts on this, Alec. Do you have a lot of thoughts as well?
Yeah, I do and I don't. I'll explain more about that later, but I definitely have some thoughts, let's just say.
All right, sounds good, dude. And then we're also talking about some of the changes that are coming, that have already come to iTunes and what that means for our fellow DJs out there. So guys, if you're a DJ, you're definitely going to want to be hearing this section as well as the rest of the episode. Then Alec is going to be talking about his night at Audio to go catch Bijou, and he also talks to one of the openers over there, DJ Baker, so that's gonna be pretty sweet. Then we're doing the anti-plural moment, but I'm not gonna say who's taking it this week. You'll find out when we get there. Then we're talking about the What Are We Listening To section. Got some great selections over here. You guys gotta stick around, you gotta hear it. And then of course we're ending the episode with the artists that we're watching. Alec, I'm so pumped up for the artists that you picked. I'm pumped up about the artists that I picked. Guys, let's dive right into it. Alec, are you ready to do this thing, baby?
Of course, man. I'm always ready. I was born
Hell
ready.
Yeah. I love it, dude. I love it. Let's bring it. All right, so new music from the artists that we're watching. Got to give a massive shout out to our friend Nostalgix. Just dropped her OG Sins EP. You can't stop this girl, dude. You can't stop her. But you know what? It came out on Nightbase, so shout out to her for having another release on AC Slater's label. We got three songs: Heist, Bad For Me, OG Sins. Each song, Alec, in my opinion, had its own unique sound to it, which I've really, really liked about this. What did you think?
I agree, man. I mean, this is just a staple Nightbase release. Nostalgix has been working gradually closer and closer to the likes of AC Slater and the Nightbase crew. But I'll tell you what, man. I mean, she's really developing a sound incredibly well. You know, and I read somewhere that she was particularly, you know, pleased with how this EP came out. And I can understand completely why. I mean, each song, you know, it is really starting to lend itself to the sound that she's trying to cultivate. You know, something that we always talk about on here, right? How important it is for a DJ to have a sound, but still have flexibility within that sound. So it's not like it's totally the same drop and the same, you know, chord progressions, exactly, like just different, making sure it's original and sounds unique in of itself, but sticks to the artist's true sound. And I'll tell you what, man, it's hard for me to pick a favorite.
I was just about to ask you.
It's hard.
Just pick one. Give me one song that like really like blew it for you, and I'll give you mine if you give me yours.
I'm gonna go, if I had to choose one, I'd say probably Bad For Me.
Dude, we are always we're too in sync, man. Yeah, Bad For Me is a great song.
I mean, it's hard because all of them, right, are really good.
Bad For Me, I actually gotta agree with you, man. That was definitely one of my more favorite tracks on here as well. But all three of them, man, all three of them, Heist and OG Sins, fantastic tracks, man. They all had their own unique spin to it, which I, you know, I love it. You were also saying that it sticks true to what she's all about, and also playing very well to the night bass sound. So, dude, really solid release from Nostalgix, and shout out to you, Nostalgix. We're really, really pumped up.
So, one other one from the new music from artists that we're watching this week: Two Mix, the release 150 Gold Digger. It's getting dark, I feel the. What did you think? This was an interesting release for me.
The name of this track is actually 150, and it was actually released on Gold Digger Records, which is actually, dude, a huge, huge thing here, man. I mean, Gold Digger Records has 41,000 followers on SoundCloud. So shout out to 2Mix for just having an amazing release on Gold Digger Records and for getting into, like, you know, such a massive network like that. I think that's amazing. Dude, I like this one a lot, actually. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, I did too. And when I said interesting, I didn't necessarily mean bad. It was more that the song was interesting.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, it's got that signature bass house sound to it. You know what I mean? But it's fucking sweet, man. This shit slaps you in the face.
That's exactly right. He should have just called it that. Slaps you in the face. I mean,
yeah. It's, dude, I'm all about categorizing music that slaps you in the face.
That should be a category we should make. It's a songs that just slap you right across the face. Big
forget
old
speechless,
backhand.
Dude. Forget speechless. No speechless. Yeah. The top ranking is now going to be slaps you in the face.
I love it. Yeah. Well, that could make you speechless, though. You slap so hard in the face, you're speechless.
That is true. That's a good point, man. That's a good point. But, dude, to surmise here, I thought 2Mix just had such a great release on Gold Digger Records, and I'm really, really pumped up for him, man. Like, I really think this is a massive opportunity. I think it's going to open up some big doors for this guy. So, listeners, if you like bass house music, you got to check this guy out.
Oh, and also, they should definitely check out Gold Digger Records. They're SoundCloud is particularly awesome, and they also have some cool Spotify playlists. I'll put that into the show notes, but definitely go check out Gold Digger, because they've got a lot of, you know, I mean, that to be honest, that's where a lot of the people that we come across are in house music and bass house. So shout out to Gold Digger Records for always having their finger on the pulse of the underground. But
love it.
Moving onwards to people who are not so underground anymore, Brohug, how did you release this week? Scorpion. What do you think, Sir?
Alec, this is different. I feel like this is a little bit different from what we're used to with Brohug. Am I right here? I mean, you got some new, different sounds from these guys. It didn't capture my attention near immediately, but after a couple of re-listens, I thought this song was kind of growing on me. You know what I mean? That's, you know, Brohug, bass house music. That's what they are. But they changed up their style, and you know what? Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I'm not saying I didn't like this song. I'm really glad that they took a risk with a new sound here. And after a couple of listens, it started to grow on me. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man, because it's one of those releases that I wasn't expecting it, you know? So when I first listened to it, it really kind of took me back a bit. I was like, whoa, this is pretty darn different than what they've done before. But it's a song that's kind of, as you said, it's more or less just okay for me. It's nothing that I'm going to get too excited about. But again, you know, as I always kind of say, I think this is a good song maybe for their sets when you go see them live, where it can switch up kind of the vibe a bit, or just switch up the tone of things a bit, you know, because as much as I do love Brohug and the sound, it's like, you know, you've got to be careful when it comes to house or bass house that you don't get overly repetitive. So I think this just would be a good switch up song, but it's not a song that necessarily is going to get me really hyped about, if that makes any sense.
Totally hear that, man. And one thing I just want to say too, you know, just kind of as we talk about bass house music, is the bubble about to burst on bass house music? I feel like there's a lot of artists who are doing it.
What do you mean?
I feel like the market is becoming, you know, saturated with the amount of bass house music artists that we have, you know, just in general. And I feel like, I don't want to say it all sounds alike, but they do draw a lot of like the same elements together. You know what I mean? Just in terms of the structure and the way that the synths are made. I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, by the middle of 2020, maybe even at the end of 2020, we won't be seeing as much bass house as we're seeing right now, because I feel like bass house right now is really, really, like, is starting to peak. What do you think?
I think it's interesting how you kind of taken two ideas there. One, that, you know, there's it's becoming saturated and there's a lot of people, so it's quote unquote, I guess, technically hitting its peak in terms of popularity. But then there's also that second piece, which is where you're saying it's all becoming similar. I don't know if I would really correlate the two, right? I don't think necessarily if there's a saturation of artists in that bass house sound that means necessarily that they all sound the same. But I would agree with you that I do think that the bass house genre and all the artists are starting to sound a bit similar. But I don't know if that's really a product of the fact that there's so many of them out there, if you know what I mean. I think it might be just more because people are tapping out on the creativity of bass house and what you can do with it. And then secondly, because it's becoming more popular, I think you're seeing a lot more mainstream artists trying to have their way, you know, go in and get in with the bass house stuff. So I don't think you're seeing as much innovation on that front. I think there's still room for it to develop and grow, because the nice thing about bass house is that if you really think about it, there's actually a lot of different ways you can go with it. Right, like it's not, as a genre, it's not very limited.
Okay, that is really, really interesting, man. Yeah, I didn't mean like it was gonna it was going to burst, like the bubble's going to burst on Base House like tomorrow or like next month. But I don't know, man. I'm getting this kind of looming feeling that it's going to come around and like maybe, you know, Base House will decline in popularity and the amount of artists who are making it and playing it out in their sets.
Yeah. You know, we'll have to see, man. I mean, it's hard to predict the future, but I could definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, we'll definitely be talking about this in 2020. So listeners, keep an eye out for those kinds of discussions as well. Dude. Umek, U-M-E-K, a little bit of techno with the Vigilance EP, two tracks. Number one is Vigilance Original Mix, and then number two is Keep Bustin'. Alec, you bustin' over there?
I definitely am bustin' over here. I mean, Umek, I love Umek, man.
I fucking love this guy, dude.
Really just awesome pounding techno. It really is.
Yeah, and one thing I really liked about this EP is that you know, both of these tracks are, they're techno, guys. The straight up techno. Vigilance is a little bit more minimalistic in the sense that it's using. It really relies more heavily on that pounding kick, something that you can probably expect to hear at a warehouse at like 3 or 4 in the morning. While Keep Bustin' gives it it has a few more elements on top of it. You know what I mean? Some synths that really kind of pierce through where, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be expecting to hear this at like a really deep, dark, heavy techno set. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think that's a very good analysis of it. You know, I like Keep Bustin' a lot. You know, I like all of it. I can't really, again, it's one of those ones where it's like I don't really have a favorite out of all of them, but it's one of those ones where it's I would just download the EP and just have it. I would agree with you. I think having that nice mix was a nice change, because correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of Umek's previous EPs kind of had the same style throughout all of the tracks.
I think he definitely has like a style of his where it relies very heavily on the kick to be the driving force on his music. And a lot of techno is like that too, you know what I mean? I would almost akin him to like a drum code style of techno.
Yes,
but
definitely.
You know, also at the same time, you know, in some of his tracks he uses a few more elements and a few more synths that you could really hear come across in his tracks, especially in the song like Keep Bustin'. You know what I mean? So I think he has a little bit more variety than like a Drum Code label. I love Drum Code, guys, don't get me wrong. But I think Umek has a little bit more variety in terms of the sounds that he uses.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. I'm excited to see what future releases will be like and whether this is something he's kind of experimenting with and seeing what the reaction is like.
Totally, man. And Alec, dude, take us away on this next track, man. We got Turno and Canine. A little polarity, dude. This song's called Polarity. A little bit of DMB over here, baby. Give it to me hot. What you think?
Oh, yeah. Some of that neurofunk DMB, like a lot of people know. It's, I tell you what, man. I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this with Javex when we had him on the podcast, right? He was talking about how drum and bass is becoming a lot more popular in America, and I can see why. I would say neurofunk, which is a style of drum and bass that has, it's like, I don't really know how to describe it, because these are all sounds that are computer sounds, but I guess it's something that sounds more like noisier and along those lines, right? People will kind of know what I'm talking about if you go to see Noisier or listen to any of their tracks. But I think this particular subgenre of drum and bass is going to become very popular in the US. I mean, it's the stuff that you can just see being played at Bass Pod, right? It's just that type of upbeat, like, you know, just really dark sounding drum and bass, but high intensity, high pace. But I loved this track, man. I thought the intro part to this track was just insane.
Yeah.
Like, just the build up from the beginning was just awesome, and it just released the tension perfectly. I thought this was a fantastic track.
And I'll be honest with you, Alec, I didn't even realize this is a drum and bass song until I put it on, because I don't know why, but like Turno's name just kind of like flew over my head. I'm like, all right, we'll check this out. You know what I mean? So I threw it on. I'm like, oh, this is nice. And then it drops into the DMB, and I was just like, oh yeah, Turno. How could I forget? Yeah, no, this is such a great song. Really great DMB addition. And Alec, I know you are excited. I'm excited. I'm really excited to see where DMB goes out here in the US. I think we're going to see a lot of it soon. Probably like 2021, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even sooner than that. I mean, just remember the Bass Pod lineup at EDC, right? I mean, it was just...
Totally.
It was stacked full of drum and bass. So this year's 2020, I should say, the EDC, that's going to be really interesting to see, you know, if they continue that trend, because I'm sure that was a litmus test to see how people react to drum and bass. I think it's funny because I think people like it, but they don't know how to dance to it yet. You know, and you could definitely tell that when you were at baseball.
Yeah,
people were just like, this is really cool, but I don't know what to do or how to move.
Listeners, it's a whole wiggling motion, you know,
it's a full body wiggling my shin.
Yeah, you know how I usually talk about, you know, putting your booty to the floor? Not with this. Don't, you know, I feel like this is not booty to the floor kind of music. This is more like you're wiggling a lot.
I don't even know if it's wiggling. It's like shaking. It's like your whole body's like shaking.
We got Yeah, Me Too, you know, one of the guys from Flossadamus, and Wookiee with the song Throw It. Now, we were just talking about putting your booty to the floor kind of music. This is putting your booty to the floor, sticking it up in the air, shaking it around. This is some
what
straight
is your
up
obsession with
twerk
this? For the last
shit.
Three podcast episodes, you've been talking. What is
know,
going
man.
On?
I've been doing a lot of dancing. I've been doing a lot of dancing.
Well, this
you
is
know
a very
like,
particular
Alec, you know.
Type of dancing.
Yeah, I know, I know. I don't know. I've been feeling a little very free lately. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with me. You know, I've just been going to a lot of shows lately, I feel like, and somehow my booty always ends up on the floor. But guys, enough booty talk. Straight up, Throw It by Yeah, Me Too and Wookiee. This is a funny song. I thought this was a really funny song.
Wookiee always has a good time with his tracks. He always throws in some funny thing. He's like a Dylan Francis that way. Like he likes to have fun with his sets. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know how you felt, but I actually kind of like this song.
I mean, I liked it for like the right vibe. You know what I mean? Like this is the kind of song where like you probably need to hear this at like I don't know. A trappier sort of set,
mm-hmm.
but it's not true trap, but I feel like it's a nice break in a trap set to like really get people moving. You know
but
what I mean?
You know, this is, I think this is a trend, man. Like I don't know if you've noticed, but you've kind of got this in between trap and I don't know, almost Jersey Club now. I don't know if you've started noticing that.
Yes.
Like, that's a whole almost separate subgenre of trap already, subgenre of a subgenre that is really, I think, playing towards the people that don't like how hard trap is getting in terms of sound, right? And how it's like, you know, it's I don't want to call it's not dubstep like, but you know what I mean? It's a lot more headbanging and a lot more of that type of sound than the previous iterations of trap. So I think this is kind of playing into those people, you know, the people like Party Favor, Yeah Me Too, Wookiee,
yes, dude,
those
yeah.
type of people. This is this type of stuff. And I think they've realized that throwing it in with some Jersey Club type of influence into it softens it up a little bit and makes it a little bit mm-hmm. more accessible to mm-hmm. people. What do you think?
No, dude, that is such a great analysis and something that I would have had a very hard time putting into words. So I think you're truly spot on with that, man.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. All right, moving
glad
on.
Glad that we agree.
Moving on. Mr. Carmack with the song Invisible Motion. Speaking of trap, if you guys are into some chill trap beats, first of all, you got to know Mr. Carmack's name if you're into that kind of music. But dude, this is such a groovy song to listen to. I've been really into this kind of sound lately, Alec.
I can tell. You really have been. It's,
what's going on with me?
I don't know. If you're into booty shaking and now you're into chill trap, I don't know what's going on. You've got quite the cognitive dissonance going on there in terms of the raving.
I'm an odd person.
that's what I was trying to say. You're just an odd guy.
You can say it like it is. guys, this is a really, really nice song. I just love Mr. Carmack's layers, the percussion that he uses. You know, I think he had a nice vocal sample in there as well. Invisible Motions is a really well fine-tuned song. And, you know, I've actually always really been into this kind of lo-fi, chilled out, relaxed electronica kind of music. I've always really been into that, especially, you know, shout out to Majestic Casual, this amazing YouTube channel, which always seems to have like some of the best tunes if you're really into this kind of sound. And that's how I was introduced to Mr. Carmack because of the song Brazilian Blowjob, which is such a great song. So I've it's such a great title too. And I've
you
always
said that like, so straight. Like I was like, excuse me.
That's how many times I've listened to that song. It is such a great song. But this is a great song by Mr. Carmack. Another hit from him, and I'm always keeping an eye on what this guy's up to. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, I agree, man. There's certainly a time and a place and a vibe for this style of music from Mr. Carmack. And I think what's cool is that if you listen to all of his other tracks, this is something that can be easily integrated into a set of his. But I love it, man. I mean, it just shows it's one of those songs where you can tell that the person is truly musical, right? Like there's some real music theory going on in here. Not that other people don't, but you can just tell that this person has a broad grasp for different instruments and sounds and really understands how to put it all together.
Absolutely.
And make a truly complex, groovy song, which is hard to do. And again, that's not saying that other people don't. It's just this is one that truly showcases his talents, I think.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. So listeners, you guys have got to check out the show notes. It's on our Facebook page. It's in the Apple Podcast app. It's in a bunch of the apps. You know, just check them out. You're going to find all the links to these songs that we're talking about. Slushy and Dion Timmer. Alec, let me ask you something. Did this song Test Me remind you of any particular artist?
No, I don't. Wow, I'm kind of caught off guard here. I'm not sure. Who are you thinking of?
All right, well, I'm about to blow your mind, maybe some of the listeners' minds as well. Let's think back to 2011, 2012. Let's think about Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites. The percussion and the drums in this song gave me a direct flashback to Skrillex's old bro step, dubstep days. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't really think about that, but now I can see what you're saying. You know, I'm not going to lie. I was not the biggest fan of this song.
Really? No. I like this one. Huh.
I don't know. I just, it's again, it's just kind of that slushy sound.
You do not like slushy, dude.
I don't. I'm sorry. I've tried to give it a chance. Hell, I hate the bloody intro of this podcast. So we're working on changing it. I swear to God, I'm going to change it. But
maybe we'll never change it. Yeah, I've been telling, listeners, I've been telling Alec, I'm like, Alec, find a song that you want to use.
Okay. Anyhow, I guess I could appreciate it. No, I'm just trying to think. I don't want to be a dick here, but I've kind of crossed that line already. Okay, fine.
Yeah, too late for you.
I was not a big fan of this song, to be perfectly honest. I thought it was, I can appreciate it, and I can definitely appreciate it, I think, a little bit more that now that you told me how it reminds you of Skrillex's old sound, but I don't know, man. I still didn't quite see the tie that I think just maybe it was Slushy's influence that, you know, that particularly in the beginning that kind of put me off of this. I don't know. You probably have a much different perspective on it. So go ahead.
I really like Slushy a lot. I mean, Alec, I already told you about my story when I saw him at EDC 2017 and how one of our friends, Andre, shout out to you, took me over to go see him. You know, we saw Hardwell and I think Slushy was on next. He's like, dude, you got to go see Slushy. You're not going to be disappointed. Dude, ever since I saw him live, I was like, damn, this guy's really, really good. Yeah, I'm all in on this song, and I really like this song a lot. I'm sorry to hear you didn't like this song as much, dude. I was just super pumped up on like the Skrillex kind of throwback sound. And listeners, you give us your opinion as well, man. You know, tweet at us at podbtb, or you know, shoot us a DM on Instagram at btb.pod. Let us know what you think about this one. Be the deciding factor here for this struggle between Alec and I. We would love to get your opinions, because right now we're fighting.
Yeah, such a aggressive fight over here.
Listeners, you know what? We got to dive right into it. Dude, let's move into our news and culture section. But before we can do that, we have to give a shout out to our boy, Javex. He just had his print work gig, and you know, just saw some videos from it, and it looked awesome. So dude, shout out to you. I know we were hyping it up a lot on the Artist Spotlight, but just really, really stoked on him, man. I'm really, really happy for him.
I mean, it's such a big gig, and again, for people who don't know what Printworks is, it's a club in London. It's one of the major clubs there. I mean, if you are playing at Printworks, you are starting to make it in the European EDM scene. And if you haven't listened to one, his mix, which you should definitely listen to, you can hear the mix on our SoundCloud or on the Artist Spotlight. And on that Artist Spotlight episode, definitely take a listen to our conversation. It was a really good conversation where he was talking about bass music, at least in that style, hasn't quite taken off yet. So he's hoping to be a pioneer of that. And just the fact that he's playing at a club like Printworks just shows that it's working and he's leading the way. So shout out to Javex for that. Just wanted to share the love from Beyond the Beats. That was an awesome gig. And we'll try to get some videos to share with you guys and girls.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're all love for our boy Javex, but now we're about to turn it up a notch with this heat, okay? And I mean that in a bad way, because I'm flabbergasted. I don't know about you, but I'm flabbergasted. But, you know, at the same time, we gotta talk about this as well, right? DJ Mag. And I know some of our listeners are probably like, oh, these guys are talking about fucking DJ Mag. That's all I've been hearing about on EDM Twitter and EDM news blogs. But you know what? This is a podcast about EDM news and culture, so we're going to talk about it. DJ Mag. They just announced their top 100 DJs for the year of 2019.
Ravers of the night, welcome. Welcome to the world's biggest DJ poll, the top 100 DJs. Over 1 million people from all over the world have voted for their favorite artists. Tonight,
Alec, we will reveal... Every year this list comes out, and every year I'm very disappointed that Eric Prydz is not number one. I'm just messing around. I don't mean that. But every year I'm disappointed by the names that just that seem to hit the top 20. But then at the same time, you also have to remember this contest is purely a popularity vote. We've talked about, for instance, the 1001 tracklist top 100 DJs that came out, I believe, over the summer, at the beginning of the summer. And the way that they quantify who is in that top list is how many times a particular DJ's track has been played by other DJs. Because remember, 1001 tracklist is basically a site where you can look up an artist that just played at like a festival and look up the track list for that set. And then in that track list, it will be tagged which songs were played. So that's how they quantify who makes their top 100 lists. Like, for instance, at the top, I believe it's David Guetta. But that's because his tracks have been played so many times over the course of 2019. So is it perfect in terms of their methodology? Not really. But then again, music is very subjective, and opinions, they each belong to a single person. And you know what I mean? This is pretty much the exact same state of how pop radio works, where big artists will drop tracks, with probably big collaborations, and they'll get a ton of airtime. But the EDM, the DJ Mag Top 100 list works a very certain way, where like the biggest names in the EDM scene are voted year over year to be at the top of the list.
And one question I have for you, because I'm not entirely sure, but how do people submit the votes? I guess they just... people have to go to the website or something to actually vote.
If you ever looked at during this time period, I believe it's about like 2 or 3 weeks where the voting period is open for DJ Mag, a lot of artists will be like, hey, vote for me on DJ Mag, or like they'll make posts about it on their social media to try to like drum up hype. Why don't we dive into it, right? So let's talk about the top 10 DJs who made the list, all right? Number one, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike.
The number one DJs of the world are... Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike.
Number two, Martin Garrix.
Down one. He won it last year.
Number three, David Guetta. Number four, Armin van Buuren. Number five, Marshmello. Number six, Don Diablo. Number seven, Oliver Heldens. Number eight, Tiesto. Number nine, Afrojack. And number 10 is Steve Aoki. Those are the top 10, and I mean, there's 100 DJs on this list. We're not going to go through the whole list and list out each one. It would just take forever on this podcast, but let's focus on who won this. Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike. Alec, what are your thoughts on here?
I don't know. I'm kind of surprised, but then again, you have to remember, I do feel like, for some odd reason, they have quite a following in Europe.
I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know. Well, I think it kind of plays back to, the roots of this Dutch house sound, right? Like, where it goes back to the golden days of Big Room, where a lot of Dutch artists were influencing that. And, another name for Big Room was almost synonymous at the time, was Dutch house. I don't know. I mean, maybe the fact that they're able to play at Tomorrowland every year, maybe they've upped their marketing game, but I don't really understand why both of them would be above someone like Martin Garrix.
I thought Martin Garrix taking home like the number one spot for 2018 is actually a good call, man. I think Martin Garrix is incredibly talented.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely agree with that. And I would also, on this list, I would agree. I think David Guetta's had an awesome year this year. He's really returned to form. And also what I like about him and what he's doing is if you listen to any of his sets, he is starting to incorporate a little bit more house. I mean, he has his Jack Back alias, right, which is just straight house.
Agreed.
But he's actually starting to integrate some other sounds to it under the David Guetta name too. So I'm really all about David Guetta being number three, but Dimitri Vegas and Light Mike, no, I'm not about that. Are they really popular in the US too? Maybe.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't understand. I know music is very subjective, and I just want to point this out, that I'm giving my opinion here, but I honestly, dude, I truly dislike Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike. Like, I really don't enjoy their music. I've never really enjoyed their sets. I mean, let's sort of back to 2012 with the song Mammoth, right? I mean, that song was Mammoth. You know what I mean? That was a huge, huge track, fantastic track. And I think they put it out right at the pinnacle of when Big Room House was at its peak. I just don't understand what these guys are doing now. I don't understand it. Like, they did that song with Paris Hilton called, you know, Best Friend's Ass. I mean, what was that? I mean, I don't understand. Like, is that like what it takes to get to the number one spot for the top 100 DJs? Is that what it takes to do a song with Paris Hilton? You know, and then those guys are always talking on the mic on their sets. It just, like, I've seen what their, you know, Bring Home the Madness shows look like from the different stadiums that they do these shows at in Europe. And I don't understand the appeal. It just seems very, very gimmicky.
I don't know. Again, I would agree with you. I think it's just that it's one of those things maybe where they got more publicity again this year. And I don't know. To be honest, man, I don't really have a rational reason as to why they would take the number one spot. I think also it'd probably be beneficial to talk about the people who have moved up quite a lot.
Yes.
I almost forgot that DJ Snake was not in the top 20. Now he is at number 16, so he's up 8 spots this year. Timmy Trumpet up 20 spots to take number 13. That's pretty incredible.
You want to hear the craziest one I saw?
What's that?
Alison in Wonderland.
Yeah.
She is currently number 44 on the list. She went up 52 spots. Dude, Alenium is a new entry into this list. So before this year, 2019, he was not on this list at all.
But I could kind of see that, because I feel like Alenium, again, I would really love to see the polling data on this, right? Like, which countries contributed to, or rather continents, I should say, right? Because you've got Australia, then you've got, you know, I mean, maybe Asia. I don't know if they're really voting on this, but then, you know, North America and then Europe. So I would venture to guess that Europe probably skews this polling data, right? I'm not too sure how many people in the US really vote on this, but I think maybe the reason why Lenny might be a new addition to it is just because I feel like he hasn't done much in Europe.
That's kind of interesting, man. I do want to point out, though, and this is something that I've kind of read and that from what I've seen with other DJs from what they've posted, you know, posted online for, this list is actually incredibly important in Asia.
Oh, okay. So it is important in Asia then.
It's important in Asia, absolutely. And I think more specifically in China, because basically promoters and booking agents will take a look at who is topping this list. And the folks who appear higher on this list are more likely to be asked to come play in China, which is a massive emerging market for EDM. So this list, while it may not hold a lot of weight here in the US, or maybe Europe, or maybe it does hold a lot of weight in Europe, but I don't think it holds much weight here in the US, it holds a ton of weight in China.
I don't think the list, but wait, I was talking more about where the voters are rather
oh,
than
yeah,
where
no, absolutely.
It holds weight. Like, I don't think in Europe this holds much weight either, to be perfectly honest. I just think there might be... No, I don't think promoters in Europe look at the DJ Mag Top 100 to select who they want to come. I think this might be just part and parcel of just all the major festivals that happen there, right? And that's why people vote on it, because these are all the main stage people, essentially. But in Europe has a lot of... There is a big support of underground talent in Europe, as you well know. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting... I mean, this is all speculation without actually having the data to look at this. So this is definitely something for us to look into. But it does surprise me that Alenium is considered to be a new entry, right? Because he had a stellar year last year as well.
Absolutely. Just some other new entries I just want to quickly point out here, right? So we got Peggy Goo. We got DOD, which is awesome. I really like DOD a lot. Sub-Zero Project. Oh, Charlotte DeWitt was also in there as well as a new entry. Fisher, of course. He's had a massive year. You know, so definitely some pretty interesting names for entering, you know, the new entry list. You know, one thing I also want to point out here is another artist that I'm kind of surprised by is Swedish House Mafia, coming in at number 42. They moved up 21 spots this year. The reason why I'm surprised about this is because they haven't put out any new music since they reformed. And number two, these guys have been canceling shows. So I'm genuinely interested to know why they have moved up so much this year.
I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, really, they have done shows in Europe and Asia. Maybe the hype of them being back.
I think that's what it's all attributed to, dude. I think it's really just the hype of them being back and back in the game. You know, I don't know, man. This list, like, unfortunately, it is something that we have to talk about, but like, it's something that I wish that we could also pay no mind to, because it's just the way that they present like who the winners are. You know, Alec, I think you're absolutely right. I wish they gave us some more country data, like, or continent data at least, you know what I mean? Like, if they had a ranking of different continents, I think it'd be really interesting to dive into that.
And I also have to say, I forgot to mention, obviously a major continent and also a really rapidly growing EDM market is South America.
Mm-hmm. I knew it. Absolutely.
And you can see that because you've got a few, they're not incredibly well represented, but you've got cat dealers who are there, Vintage Culture at 47. And I was surprised by this. He went down 28 spots. I thought he had a really good year this year. Yeah. I mean, he had that big songs. Was that this? Was Save Me released?
I think it may have been 2018, dude.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, so maybe he hasn't done as much. But I'm surprised, though, that he went down by that much, because, I mean, he's huge in Brazil, obviously. Yeah, I was just surprised by a couple of the people that went by, that actually went down. I was a little bit surprised by some of the people. Like, Diplo went down 25.
Oh, that's pretty crazy, man. Because, like, Diplo has been on an absolute tear this year. Like, I feel like he's been nonstop, go, go, go.
And then, you know, another big one, I mean, you know, these guys are usually up high, but it's Yellowclaw down 30 spots. Robin Schultz down 22. You got a bunch of people who are down that you wouldn't really think would be as down as they, you know, are. Solomon, for instance, down 9. I mean, I don't know why he's still that low.
And then one last point I want to make on this is the representation of women in this list. So I went up to count and down to count. So I think I got the same number both times, but I only saw 7 acts where it was solely women, or at least had one woman in the group on this list out of 100. Which I think is a real, real shame, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we talked about this with Aki, and, you know, we've talked about this time and time again on the show, but I feel like we just need more efforts to really kind of prop up, you know, non-male performers in this scene. You know what I mean? Regardless of, like, which gender a person identifies with, like, woman or not, I think we just need to do a better job of finding non-male performers to kind of prop up in the scene and help them find the success that they deserve.
Yeah, I agree with that. To be honest, I don't think DJ Mag Top 100 is ever going to be, or at least for a very long time, it's not going to be the place where you're going to see their success reflected. You know, I mean, everyone knows it's already kind of a flawed system anyhow, right? So I also think a big part of it, right, is the fact that there is just a barrier to entry for female artists in the EDM scene. So I think there's an issue of, one, you know, giving them enough attention and spotlight that they deserve, but two, you know, really encouraging them and getting them into the scene and getting them more bookings at nightclubs and things like that. You know, I think there just needs to be a general overhaul about how we do this in regards to female representation in music, you know, especially electronic music. So it's, you know,
absolutely.
It's getting there. It is. It's definitely better. But to be honest, I think there needs to be some other metrics where we can look at, which will really showcase how well we're doing in that regard. Because I don't think DJ Mag Top 100 is ever going to be a good litmus test.
And I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that a bit with the IMS Ibiza report when we went over that, you know, over the course of those 5 episodes. So I thought that was really great stuff.
All right, I think we could put this one to bed just because, you
totally
know, This is quite a long topic.
Before we move on, listeners, we want to put out a question to you guys. Who do you think, in your opinion, should be the number one DJ on this list? I mean, if you think it's Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, tweet at us. Let us know. If you think it's not, let us know. You could tweet at us at PodBTB. And we're also going to be putting together an Instagram poll after this episode is out. So give us a follow at btb.pod. And, you know, you can share your thoughts over there through us. And we'll read some of those tweets or those Instagram messages on the show next week. So let us know what you think. We would love to know. Dude, moving on. This one's for the DJs out there. iTunes is gone. X, canceled. It's dead, chief. All right? But how does that affect DJs? Alec, I mean, this is exactly why I did not upgrade my laptop to the next OS. I forgot what they're calling it.
Catalina OS,
yes, Catalina.
Or something.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. This is exactly why I did not upgrade my laptop to Catalina, because they got rid of iTunes. So now iTunes, because, you know, pre-Catalina and before this update, it kind of encompassed a bunch of different things into it, right? It encompassed, you're able to download movies and TV shows and rent them and download music, obviously, and it included a podcast, you know, searching mechanism. But then, you know, as you guys know, if you have an iPhone, all those functionalities have been split out on the iPhone. You know, you have Apple Music, you have Apple Podcasts, and Apple TV, these are new streaming services, but also a marketplace to rent movies and TV shows straight on your iPhone. Well, now they finally took that step with iTunes, but there's a big problem here with that's happening to DJs. Alec, do you want to go into the technical side of this for us?
Yeah, sure. And I think just before that, giving a little bit more context on this for people who may not be aware of the business move behind this. This is a very smart business move by Apple, and they've been building up to do this for quite a long time. Right, like the fact that they have now created three separate applications, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Apple TV. Podcasts at the moment don't have any, you know, paid subscription mechanism to it, but you've got Apple TV and Apple Music, and they certainly do. As they start unveiling more and more of Apple TV, the reason why they've got all these three apps is so that they can put together some type of subscription model towards it, right? A package deal. So This is definitely something, oh yeah, just you wait. They're just until they're going to have one other one, and then they're going to say, look, you can get it all in a bundle together. It's another way to retain, you know, people and kind of like handcuff them to iOS. So it's another way to do that. As you know,
as I'm trying to move away from the iOS system, they're trying to keep me back in.
Well, it's also because it's not making you rely necessarily upon an iPhone and having an iPhone, right? Because you've got iPads, you've got Macs, but you can still have access to all these services, but you don't need to have it from the iPhone. I mean, you know, everyone knows that iPhone sales are dipping and dropping. There hasn't been much innovation on that front. So this is really their innovation. This is kind of the business model that I think that they are moving to, and a lot of other economic analysts also believe. So to keep an eye out for that. That this is probably a little bit more context about why they're doing this, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense, right? Like iTunes was great. It had everything all in one. So
I don't know, man. iTunes, like, as they start to add more and more into it, I'm sorry to interrupt, but as they start to add more and more into it, I just felt like it just became so slow and unbearable to use at times.
Well, you know, there's certainly, I think I'm not as experienced with iTunes. Anyhow, the reason why this is bad for DJs, and I'm going to quote here from a Mixmag article from Devin White. She was saying how Apple Music fails to incorporate XML file support, an organizational component which originally made it simple for DJs to transfer data from iTunes to applications such as Rekordbox and Traktor. Rekordbox and Traktor are DJ software and programs that DJs use to mix. Rekordbox is it's a spin-off form of Serato. Serato is another one that's very popular amongst bedroom DJs and all DJs alike. So to put this in other terms, without this file support, this XML file support, right, the tracks that DJs have won't automatically stay organized in these set playlists when they import them into things like Serato and Traktor. So imagine putting all your time and effort in your iTunes to have all these cultivated playlists, and before it would be a seamless transition into these DJ softwares where you wouldn't have to change anything. Now, without this file support, you're screwed. It's not going to keep those playlists set. So when you put it into the DJ software, it's just going to kind of be all over the place. Serato and Traktor already releasing beta versions and patches to kind of deal with this on their own software on their end, because obviously they can't do anything with Apple. Rekordbox hasn't said anything yet, but I imagine since it's, you know, spin-off of Serato, they're going to do something with that. This is, again, kind of the issue that I've had with Apple on a separate note, is that they seem to do things really without a regard for how it affects people, and they kind of just expect other people to adapt to them, you know? And I think This is something that a lot of tech companies do but think about it this way, like, you know, they definitely know that this would have been a problem,
but also at the same time, dude, do they really give a shit? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that they don't. Because they do this in multiple different ways too. It's not just, you know, with this way, they don't really give a crap. So that's my point, is the fact that I don't like is the fact that they definitely could have figured something out, right? Like, they really could have. I'm sure they could have, or they could have given people, you know, and I don't know, maybe they did, but from what my research, they didn't give anyone a heads up about this in terms of, you know, it's a Serato and Traktor, etc. But they definitely could have done that, because I know a lot of producers use Apple. And again, they have to know that. So I think it's just a shame that they're really doing this. And maybe there's another business play here. Maybe they'll come out with something. But so far, they're saying, screw you, DJs and DJ softwares, you're going to have to figure out your own workaround.
I was already having some issues with, like, my iTunes and Traktor integration, And like, I'm so glad to not upgrade to Catalina, man, because I was reading articles about this as like in some warnings from different forums, you know, saying to not upgrade to Catalina for this very same reason. It's good to know, though, that Serato and Traktor are releasing like beta versions and fixes for this. But fellow DJs out there, you've been warned from Beyond the Beats. Be careful if you're planning to upgrade your laptop to Catalina. Just be careful and just check to see if your software, your DJ software, will support Apple Music integration. All right, Alec, so you've had a pretty fun weekend this past weekend, my man. Who'd you go see? Tell me about your night out in San Francisco, baby.
Definitely, for sure, man. And actually, on that note, quickly, I have to make a correction. I'm actually able to see Dom Dolla back-to-back Sonny Federa. Yes, I looked at the dates wrong, so I am still flying out on the flight on Friday, but the gig's actually Thursday night at 10:15 Folsom. So I will be there to see it. Dom Dolla, I'm sure you didn't listen to the last episode, but I'm there for you, man. Like, I'm there to hear San Francisco being played. And I was a little bit disappointed because, back to this now, Bijou actually opened up with San Francisco. And I was like,
No way.
Yeah. I was like, that's cool, but damn, I wanted to hear Dom Dolla play it for the first time in San Francisco.
I can understand that. Yeah.
You know, but I think it was cool how he opened up with that, and it was obviously a fantastic reaction and uproar to it. Maybe Dom Dolla has an edit of it or something. I don't know.
When Bijou opened his set with Dom Dolla's song San Fran Disco, did people pop off as expected?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean,
dude, nice.
Everyone knew
that.
What was coming. I mean, everyone knew from just the get go. Like, there's just a song so well known.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love like when people can feel the tension, the excitement kind of coming up like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, they all knew the song. They knew exactly what was coming. So that was really cool to see.
I fucking love that.
I mean, and also shout out to him for, you know, realizing that's probably a great way to start your set out here. So definitely shout out to him. But, you know, just stepping away from Bijou for a second, we'll come back to him. I have to give a shout out to G-Code. So when I was taking a look at the lineup, right, I saw this guy Baker on it, B-A-K-R, and I'd never really heard of him before. And I thought it was definitely worth at least reaching out to him and looking into him more, because the only other support on there was DLMT. And he's not an SF local or native. So, I mean, it really is just, it's Baker, DLMT going into Bijou. So I was like, wow, okay, that's a pretty, you know, small lineup for someone like Bijou coming in. So I was like, who is this Baker guy? Turns out he's an SF local and native here. I mean, he absolutely crushed his set. I will have to say, I was really surprised. And what was awesome is the fact that, and you'll hear it in this interview, because I did get a chance to catch up with him after a set, but he incorporated some Brazilian bass or Brazilian house into it.
Oh, Alex, you love that shit, dude.
Oh, God, I love it. So when I heard that live, I was like, yes, they're catching on to a trend that I think is really going to hit it off in America. People like Tiesto started incorporating into the sets as well.
Yeah.
But he had this amazing, amazing Sharam J edit that he did of Sharam J, who's a Brazilian bass DJ. But I'll let it take away and speak for itself. We had an awesome chat, not just with Baker, but with some guys who are part of the G-Code squad. They're actually also going to be opening up, or they're going to have their own little takeover for Dom Dolla back-to-back Sonny Federa, by the way.
Dude, that's
so
awesome.
I'm going to have to go see them again. But take a listen to just how we caught up, and I think you'll really like this interview. They've got a lot of charisma, a lot of personality, and they're really into the G-House scene.
Basically, here in San Francisco, we are the pioneers of G-House, right?
Nice.
So, okay. In a scene where everyone was playing tech house and techno, we were the first ones to embrace the sort of new progressive sound that was coming out of like Bijou in Arizona. It was coming out of Chami and Mala out in Paris. And we basically kind of collected it, and we were like, this is a fucking sick sound. Like, the low frequencies are on point. Like, this is a sound that moves people. And we were like, why is no one doing this in San Francisco? And so we were like, okay, let's just start some fucking events. And so we started with, you know, it was low-key, 50-person show at the Armory Club. But yeah, it just kind of built up from there very organically. Uh-huh. Like, you know, we started putting out feelers in all the clubs around the city.
Right.
We got
It was mostly just like a group of like our homies, and we're all DJs and artists and producers, and we just started throwing parties. Our very first party series together, we actually used to be a duo called AVN, Avi and Ananya. And that
not like the Porn Awards, right?
Not like the Porn Awards.
Although we benefited greatly from the hashtag.
Yeah, honestly,
hashtag you should have
just kept it there. Like, I would have been like, fine.
I mean, we feel like it's pretty stale and like oversaturated in terms
of
tech.
What do you mean by that?
In terms of like techno and tech house, it feels pretty much the same everywhere we go. And we know what to expect, which is great because we all love it.
Right.
However, we thought with G-Code, we would add this flavor of hip hop that wasn't being.
That's what the G means. The G is like G house. It's gravity. Yeah. It is an element that brings something bigger to the sound.
The force that unites us all.
Uh-huh.
It's that heavy.
It's the G.
You can't resist the G.
And we wanted to bring that element because, I mean, I personally like hip-hop. I just don't like playing it. But I wanted to add that flavor.
The house beat to
it.
When
you get the hip-hop and house crossover, that is the ideal fucking audience.
And you do it
because they're down to get down. And they're down to get down.
That's true.
So once we made G-Code and we started doing parties, actually, Bill right here, He was our differentiator. So he does visuals, and he was looking for a platform to get started.
Okay.
And we wanted to do something different than what all these other collectives are doing. So he would, like, custom build these screens, learn mapping. You can talk about it, Bill.
MVP right here.
MVP,
I mean, the G-Code was part of me starting as a visual artist. I was inspired in Detroit at a light art fair called D-Electricity.
Yeah, nice.
And bought a projector, started, like, pointing at things, learned projection mapping. And then I did a show with this group, Thumb Therapy, and that was my first show. And I was like, just knowing projection mapping, this is the first time I ever did live visuals for music. And they played that night, AVN.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you guys were like the last set. And they threw down.
Thumb Therapy was how we actually started getting into the scene, because they had a regular thing at Golden Gate Park and then Milk Bar on Hate Street.
Milk Bar,
that's
how we met.
Right across from Amoeba Records.
That's right.
They tell me they got a show in a month. And they're like, you want to do visuals? I was like, yeah. So I ended up building this custom screen. And from there, it's been over a year now. And I've done, I don't even know how many shows with you guys.
He's
I'm like
10 or 11.
Now he's a regular VJ for 10-15 Folsom for the Ajuna Deep Festival.
Really?
They hit him up to do it.
One club.
It's amazing to see that progress. And it's really inspiring to us to know that we've created this brand, this platform, just through our community and through putting a logo on it.
Through clever Facebook marketing.
And it's the rhythms of house, it's the beats, the percussions, the bass lines with the flavors and the soul of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it's that dirty, that G, like you tastefully sprinkle that over what people are already listening to, and it stays relevant, but it adds this different element, and that's what we really think is that niche that's going to take us that next level, and it seems to be working, and we're really passionate
about
it.
Well, I think there's a market for it, right?
I mean,
you've got people like
it.
Bijou's coming up, you've got a bunch of people. Hip-hop is the number one genre in the world right now, honestly, like bar none. And then EDM is the second genre in the world.
Sure.
And so we were just thinking, like, how do we combine these two interests that everyone has into an experience that all flavors of people can enjoy?
Right. Yeah, that's what it's all about, really.
So, I mean, it was just a great chat with them. And, you know, shout out to Baker and his G-Code squad. I think it was a really awesome time. And I can't wait to see them yet again at Dom Dollar, Back to Back Sunny Federa at 10:15 Folsom. They've got a lot of stuff going on. Expect to hear from these guys more often. I mean, they're really starting to kick up the scene, and just from the releases and just how he's already opened for Dr. Fresh. You know, I mean, there's some real talent here, and I think people are starting to take notice.
Dude, I'm really pumped up about this, man. I'm really excited that, number one, you got to connect with them, and then you're also going to be seeing them again for Dom Dalla. I think that's going to be so great, man.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, I mean, I know they're really pumped up about it too, and they're just very grateful for all the opportunities coming their way, which is nice to see. But they're just having a good time with it, and that's what I love.
That's what it's all about, dude.
For sure, man. But we have to switch up the note now. Are you ready, Smith?
Oh, baby. This one has me, as you like to say, tight. This one has me real tight about what I experienced just this past week. Are you ready for this? Listeners, are you guys ready? Everybody ready?
Let's do it. Come on, man.
All right, baby. Okay.
Get hyped.
Listeners, this is the anti-plur moment, the section of the show where Alec and I, you know, we get a little personal here. We get a little negative here. We talk about some things that we disliked or that we just experienced in the scene that we just did not enjoy seeing or witnessing. So this week, I'm taking the anti-plur moment. I decided Alec has been anti-plur for the past 2 weeks. It's now my turn to bring it on. But Guys, just this past week, I actually went to the Goldie Awards in Brooklyn, which was awesome, by the way, man. It was a really, really good time. You know, it's A-Trax Awards for a DJ battle and a beat battle. And I'm going to be talking about that in just a little bit here on the show. You know, the crowd for this award ceremony and competition was very different from like a regular rave. You know what I mean? You had people from all different types of backgrounds and interests, you know, folks who are producers and make like hip hop and rap beats, and EDM fans and hip hop fans. And just like, it was really, really interesting to see like all different types of people coming together to kind of be a part of the show. You know, like it was hosted by Yeah Me Too and some other folks, and Alice in Wonderland and Kittens was on the judging panel. Like it was really cool, man. One thing I was really surprised about, and this might have just been because it was on like a Thursday at like 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. It was like really empty. Like me and my friend, we were like almost at the front of the stage, and like I mean I could probably like talk to A-Trak in a normal speaking conversation voice. Like that's how close we were. One thing that really, really ticked me off, and we've talked about phone use at shows and like just some etiquette around it. But the way that the competition was structured is that the first half of the competition was the beat battle. So each of the 8 contestants, they had 1 minute to do a warm-up beat and then another minute to do a beat with a sample that was given to them before the competition for them to get creative with and to get a routine down. So during the beat competition, they had a minute per performance. And one thing I noticed was that, you know, for every single act that went on, tons of people around me were whipping out their phones and recording every single minute of each person's performance, right? So each person had 2 minutes on stage. There were 8 performers for the beat battle, 16 minutes. Like people were just straight up pulling up and down their phones, up and down to record each performance, which I thought was really odd. And I'm like, all right, you know what, man? Everyone's got their own way of doing it, whatever they want to do. But one thing that really ticked me off was that this happened twice where like, you know, I'm at, you know, some dope beats were being laid down. I'm moving, I'm grooving, I'm dancing, I'm shaking my booty. And then, and somebody behind me would be like, hey man, do you mind not moving so much? You're getting into my video. And they asked me very politely, which I can appreciate. It was polite. It wasn't like coming at me, but also at the same time, like, do you hear the music that's coming on? And do you understand that we're here to like listen to music and to dance as well? You know, and to witness what these performers have. Like, why should I not dance because the back of my head is getting into your video? How does that make any sense? Like, I'm not telling you to put your phone away. You know what I mean? So don't tell me to not dance. That's why I'm here, to dance. I want to express myself. It really ticked me off, man. Like, it was a weird... I wouldn't say it's weird because it's just a different crowd and a different vibe, but I just don't understand, like, if you're having such an issue with me dancing and, you know, the back of my head getting into your videos, then move the fuck out of the way. You don't have to be behind me. Move somewhere else. You know what I mean? But don't ruin my enjoyment. I'm not trying to ruin your enjoyment, so don't ruin mine.
You know, man, that's such a shame to hear because you're so right. I mean, people should be there first and foremost to dance. And the fact that, you know, I get it. People want to take videos. Like, we understand that. And of course, you know, we sometimes take videos ourselves. But to tell people to not dance or to move because you're taking a video, it's just utter nonsense. I mean, that is so stupid to say. I mean, this isn't a seating arena. This isn't there for you to take videos and selfies. It's there for you to dance and to enjoy. And, like, I get it. You want to take a video? Fine. Well, why don't you fucking move to take a video? Don't make Samir, who's dancing, probably dropping his booty to the floor for whatever reason he's doing that. I mean, couldn't you just time it for when he drops it low? I mean, you definitely could time it with that. Like, you know, you don't... It's not up to... This isn't, you know, a video recording... you know, focused thing. Like, you're there to dance, you're there to enjoy the music, and you're there to pay attention and being there in the moment. So I'm really sorry to hear that, man. I mean, that is such a I would never have expected that, to be perfectly honest.
And what's odd, dude, is like, you know, it's one thing if like you wanted to refer back to these videos and take a listen to like the techniques that these performers were using, because dude, I'll tell you what, some of these performers were like really small artists from all around the world, but they just have an insane amount of talent, and they were kind of picked out by A-Trak and his team to come to the US for this competition. So it's one thing if you want to take a video of them to refer back to like how they did something, or like what their finger movements look like, or how they kind of laid out the way that they use their beat pads, right? But the thing is that this whole competition was live streamed, and so you know it was going to be available in video form even after the show. So really, the only reason why these folks were taking their phones out for videos was was probably to just put some shit up on their social media.
And no, it's just the whole FOMO type of culture thing. Like, you know, if you haven't taken a video of it and put it up on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever whatever social media, are you really there? It's that type of mentality, man. Which
it's
I
so
think
lame,
is,
dude.
It's lame, and then it becomes even more lame when you are asking other people to move out the way so you can just show off where you're doing and how much of a good time that you're having. I think that's just I don't know, man. Like, that's just don't do really, that. That's really
it. Really ticked me off, man. Like, you know, some of the etiquette of the crowd around me was just like a little bit less than awesome. You know what I mean? And I've told you some other things that I kind of experienced with the crowd as well, but I really wanted to talk about this one because, I don't know, it just really irked me a lot, man. Like, it just kind of pissed me off. Listeners, that's my anti-player moment. If you guys experience, you know what, I'm genuinely curious to know, if you guys have experienced anything like that, you know, something that where you're dancing and somebody behind you is like, hey, please don't dance as much, you're getting into my videos or photos or whatever, let me know, because that's, in my opinion, just unacceptable.
Right, man. Well, thank you for taking the anti-player this week. And again, sorry that had to happen to you, but let that be a lesson. Do not do this. It's not good.
Exactly. Don't get in the way of my dancing, all right? That's all I have to say on that. Guys, let's move into it. We got some fantastic selections for the What Are We Listening To section this week, the section of the show where we give our in-depth thoughts and our insights into some music that has just recently come out. So this week, we're talking about Madeon, however you say it. You know, everyone has different pronunciations, I feel like. But Madeon, with this brand new song that just came out last Wednesday, Be Fine. And we're also talking about Chami. He has a song called Rainforest, but Valentino Khan put his spin on it for the Valentino Khan remix of Chami's song Rainforest. Alec, let's start it off with Madeon's Be Fine. Give me your thoughts, man. What do you think?
Really liked it, man. I mean, Madeon's taken a big step recently towards kind of really honing in on his groovy, I guess, for lack of a better term, type of sound. Almost retro, right? It's almost got this real retro feel to it. Nostalgic too. I think that causes a lot of nostalgia in people, and it's kind of a modern take on some of this like old, what people might call cheesy, you know, music. But I think he makes it not cheesy. I think a lot of people would call kind of the sound that he's you know, modernizing to be a little bit cheesy. I do think some people would think that, but
that's,
you know,
interesting.
I think so, man. I mean, you don't think so? You don't think people would find that?
I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily call it cheesy. I know what you're trying to say, though. It's
no, I don't. I'm not saying that you would or I would. I'm just saying there's a lot of people who would. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who would.
Like, I don't know if I would agree it's cheesy, and you know, you just said that you wouldn't say it's cheesy, but I can see why some people would think it's cheesy. I personally just don't think it's cheesy like that. And I think maybe people get that vibe out of it from like the use of the gospel voices in the background. Do you think that might be it?
Maybe. And again, like, I don't think the song necessarily people would find cheesy as much as what he is modernizing. So everyone can kind of relate to. I don't really know what the genre would be. What would the genre be?
Bro,
put his own take on it. Like, I just know the sound. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know, this kind of reminded me of some Kanye West sounds, you know what I mean? Like, because Kanye West used to rely heavily on like gospel noises and gospel sounds in some of his earlier tracks.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, maybe some of the listeners know what I'm referring to here, but
by far this is probably one of my favorite songs that he's released so far this year in 2019. If I had to rank the songs that he's kind of put out this year, right? So, you know, we have Be Fine, we have Dream, 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 and we also have All My Friends. I think actually Be Fine is my favorite one, followed by All My Friends, followed by Dream, Dream, Dream.
Wow,
and I gotta say, like, I love Madeon's vocals in the song Be Fine as well. I thought he did an excellent job with the vocals. A little bit lo-fi effect to them, kind of sitting back on the track, not necessarily out front, in front of your face. Just everything kind of coming together, where his vocals weren't necessarily the center of this track. I thought this was amazing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. He really did. He's kind of like Porter Robinson, is a mastermind at the details of things and songs. And so he put a lot of effort into the details. I really liked how he selected the vocals, the lo-fi vocals, that what he did, the effect that he did with that. I think that's just a classic case of just somebody who's really paying attention to the details. And I liked this song a lot, man. I don't know if I actually preferred All My Friends over the song.
It's a good song, dude. Yeah, you absolutely. Know? I understand that.
But I really do like kind of his more groovy feel that he's going with right now. And this is just another solid, great release from Madeon in that more groovy, funky type of style. I mean, how would you even categorize this? I'm struggling to think of a subject. No, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard.
I know,
right?
I know. But it's like, how would you categorize Porter Robinson? You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, that's
they're not sure. Both of these artists are just, they are at the forefront of their respective genres, whatever you want to call them. They are the leaders
true.
Of them.
I'm just trying to come up with something, a label almost, that people who haven't listened too much to them would be able to know. Because, you know, we're just talking about this and I don't know how to describe it.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. No, I know exactly what you mean, man. And I know, like, in the new music section, we try to put some genres on the songs that we're talking about just so people can identify them easier. But when it comes to people like Madeon, it's really, really hard to put a genre on what he's doing.
But I tell you what, it's good. That's what he's
It's beautiful. Yep. Listeners, you guys have got to take a listen to this song. I'm not kidding. Go into our show notes. The Spotify link is there. And go listen to this shit. Pause the podcast, but come back to us and listen to this song, because then you'll know what we're talking about here.
Second one in this section, Charmy, Rainforest, the Valentino Khan remix. It's me.
No, you start us off, dude.
Me?
Yeah, you got the hot take. You start us off, man.
I don't have a hot take on this. Oh, you're saying from I've got the hot take. What do you mean?
Tell us your opinions on the original by Charmy, and then tell us
what
you think
okay,
about
so yeah,
Khan
that's
remix.
The hot take.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The hot take is that I much prefer this over the original. Sorry, Charmy, I love you. He is one of the best house DJs probably that there's been in a long time, or at least the modern form of house, French house, but... Yeah, I didn't like that song at all, actually, to be perfectly blunt, the original. Oh, shit, however, Valentino Khan put an awesome, awesome twist.
Yeah.
You know, there's something with him. He just gets how to get people moving. He just understands how to have people just constantly moving during his sets. He really does understand how to do that very well. And this is just another classic, you know, a remix of his where he's just, you know, taking something and making it just want, you know, you just want to move to it, man. And that's what I really like this song. So I guess the hot take, as you were saying before, I get it now. What you're trying to, you know, infer was that I didn't really like the original too much, but I really enjoy the Valentino Khan remix of this. I mean, I think he did a fantastic, bang up, stellar job with this remix. How about you?
Yeah, Alec, I'm actually I'm right there with you in saying that I enjoyed the Valentino Khan remix more than I enjoyed the original. However, I didn't not enjoy the original by Chami, you know, the song Rainforest. It took me a couple of listens, though. It definitely took me a couple of times to, like, kind of really get into it. And when I first heard the song, I was like, whatever. It's fine. You know what I mean? It wasn't anything too stellar. But I do agree with you, man. Like, when I first heard the Valentino Khan remix, you know, like, giving it a little bit more oomph, giving those kicks a little bit more of a punch, so that way when it drops, it really drops. When I first heard the Valentino Khan remix of this song, I was like, okay, this is a good track, and I would definitely listen to this over and over again.
I would agree with you, man. This is definitely a song that would be an on-repeat, and maybe it will be in the future. It's definitely a song that I would definitely download in it, definitely listen to in it, definitely annoying people by playing it a lot.
Well, there you go. All right, man, let's move into rating these two pieces of music, right? So here on Beyond the Beats, we have a very unique rating scale. You know, returning listeners, you guys already know this part, so feel free to skip ahead a little bit. And new listeners, welcome. We have a unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats, and it's levels 1 through 5. And level 1 is, you know, the lowest level that we usually give to tracks, and level 5 is the highest. So starting from level 1, we call it one listen. It's basically where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music and we'll talk about it, you know, but that's probably going to be the only time that we really listen to this piece. And, you know, we're encouraging you guys to at least give the track one listen. Level 2 is called background noise, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, if a song comes on in the background, you're not going to really make much of an effort to change it. You know, you don't really care if it's there. You might be doing other things and it's whatever. It's just, it's there in the background to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on and it propels you to grab the volume knob and crank it up, blast it out loud. And level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music and it propels you to want to, you know, look up the tour dates for an artist that you were listening to and try to find out when they're coming to your city next, because you just got to hear them live. You just got to hear more. At level 5 is speechless. It's when you hear a piece of music and it's just you and the tune, and that's all that matters. Everything else fades away. So just to reiterate real quick, level 1 is one listen. Level 2 is background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. And level 5 is speechless. Alec Prieto.
Yes, Samir.
What did you think of Madeon's song, Be Fine? What'd you think? What's your hot take?
Okay. I'm going to give it, and sorry if you're disappointed by this, Samir, a little bit, but I'm going to give it a level 3, turn it up.
What, dude? Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me right now, dude?
Oh. No, I'm not. I liked this, but I did like All My Friends a bit better, and I don't know if I could just give this again, we always talk about this here. In a vacuum, I don't think this song would... Don't laugh. You know, this is a good analogy, okay?
In a vacuum, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good analogy, you fuck, all right? It's a fantastic analogy for rating these songs, all right? It makes people understand why I'm rating it this way. And maybe you have some other system. Yeah, exactly. I know I am. No. I'm giving it this because it's, again, in a vacuum, it's not really a song that would push me to definitely go see Madeon if I hadn't heard of him before, because obviously I would go to see Madeon if I could, because I love him, right? But I think the song, it lacked a little bit something for me that would have given me a just bought tickets. I liked it, but I just didn't, it's more of a feeling thing, man. I don't think there's anything logical necessarily, you know, about this. I can't really pinpoint objectively something in the song that didn't me give it up to that, but I just, the feeling wise, it just wasn't as quiet there for me as some of his other releases. So I guess also relatively speaking too, if I like compared it relative to his other tracks that he's recently released, I would put this a little bit lower than something like All My Friends. Sorry again if that has, you know, I'm sorry to ruin your vibe on this, man, because I already know it, but I did enjoy this song. And that is not a bad rating, by the way.
Absolutely. No, dude, I'm seriously just messing around, and I totally respect your opinion on that one. For me, I'm going to have to give this a just bought tickets. I fell in love with this song when I first heard it. I really, really enjoyed this song a lot. And if anything, man, it just got me more hyped to go see Madeon live on November 29th here in New York City. I already have tickets. I'm beyond stoked for his show, dude. I've talked about this before. I heard the new show is absolutely amazing. It's crazy. The music that he's putting out this year is incredible. And I think Be Fine for me is this one of my favorite releases of his most recently. Not necessarily at a speechless level, because, you know, it fits in well with his other songs, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, too discerning, or it wasn't too, like, unique from the other music that he's been releasing this year, but I thought this song is going to be perfect for his brand new album.
Agreed, man. I will say that I 100% agree with you on that front, that it is absolutely perfect for his new album.
Awesome, man. And then what do you think about the Valentino Khan remix of Chami's Rainforest?
Yeah, with this one, I'm also going to give it a turn it up. Nice. Level 3 out of 5. Yeah. I'm being a little bit stringy maybe this week with it. Really enjoyed this song. I think for me it wasn't something that would, again, in a vacuum, make me want to go see Valentino Khan. I could just see this fitting in very, very well within his sets, but I'm going to give it a just turn it up. You know, again, that is a very good rating still, because it means I'm just going to blast it whenever it comes on, and it's a definite download for me. But it's just not quite at that level where it's something that if I heard this song, hadn't heard of Valentino Khan before, it's not something that would be like, oh, I absolutely have to go see him. Like, hands down, I'm buying the ticket right now.
Yeah, you know, Alec, I'm actually right there with you. I'm also going to give it a turn it up as well. Not a bad rating, obviously. I don't know, man. I have an interesting relationship when it comes to Valentino Khan's music. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I like some of his music. Like, what's that song? Like, Lick It? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that song. I like that song a lot. That would definitely make me want to buy tickets. But this one necessarily wasn't like, I need to go check Ticketmaster. I need to go check EDM Train and find out, you know, if he's coming to New York City anytime soon. But I really like the way that this remix built upon the original, and that's why I'm giving this a higher rating. Like, if we were talking about just Chami's original version of this track, before I gave it, like, a couple of listens, I'd give it a background noise. You know what I mean? But this song right here, right from the get-go, I was like, yeah, I would totally turn this shit up if it came on.
That's good. That's good. I like how you analyze that too, Samir. I 100% agree with you on that one. You know, and I think also, just to be fair to Valentino Khan, this is a remix, right? So, I mean, he is remixing an original song, but the fact that we would rate his original songs higher is just speaking volumes towards how we feel about him as an artist. So, definitely, man. All right, those were two. That was good, man. I enjoyed that conversation about those
Me
two
too,
tracks.
Man. I really like the different vibes to both of those tracks, man. I thought those were nice selections for this week. All right, Alec, my friend, this is the best part of the show. We say this every time. It's the best one. You know what they say on Snacks Daily, that podcast? Like, the best one yet. You know what, dude? This is the best part of the show right here. The artist that we're watching section. Alec, you've got a fantastic selection. I have a fantastic selection. Both of these selections were, I thought, just really, really amazing. And dude, why don't you kick us off here, man? Tell me about the artist that you're watching this week.
So, listeners, imagine a place. We don't have to imagine a place. Just imagine the last time that you heard some awesome tech house music as you hear it slowly build it up. As Samir likes to say, get your dancing shoes on, get ready to boogie, get ready to move. Hopefully, if you can get your booty down low, do it, because you might want to with this. But I have a feeling you might more want to just one, two step to this song. You can hear the Spanish influence in this. It's just such a fantastic, fantastic track. I absolutely fell in love with this. I've downloaded it and I have already blasted it multiple, multiple times in my car. Just before it drops, I'll tell you who this is. This is LP Giobbe with her song Diala Pasar.
Dude, first of all, great track, and thank you for pronouncing that, because I had no idea how to pronounce the name of this song. Could you repeat it one more time so I can get it down?
Diala Pasar.
Diala Pasar. Dude, great song, man. I really like this one a lot, and I really like the vocals on this too, man. The vocals were nice and soothing, but LP Giobbe's, you know, fine-tuned drums and finesse on those synths, this is really, really fantastic shit, man. Tell me more about it.
Well, I absolutely love the Spanish influence in this, and I hope I pronounced that right, and I hope Samir did too. I'm pretty sure I did. So, if anyone...
Alec is the kind of guy, when we were in Mexico, we went
to Cancun,
he put his Spanish influence on every single thing possible.
Anyway, we're getting beside the point here. The point is, she is fucking phenomenal. She really is. I mean, I've linked this as well. I will link this in the show notes, but she did a mix with a cookout, and I just absolutely love that mix. I mean, just go to her SoundCloud. It's just fantastic. It's just loaded with awesome, awesome tracks, all very different from each other. And what I like about her is that, again, as I said, for a few songs throughout this podcast, there are some songs that you can just tell where they have a real true understanding of music and they have a real musical talent, and this song really just comes with that. Like, as you go throughout the song, it's almost like a miniature journey and just adds in these different elements and instruments and layers to it, and I love it. I mean, I just love the Spanish influence on this too. And, you know, and all of her music doesn't sound exactly like this, which is the great thing. Like, you can go through her track list and there's a bunch of different things, right? But the reason also why I wanted to, there's a few reasons, there's multiple reasons apart from the music that I wanted to spotlight her this week. One, shout out to Aki for recommending. She commented on one of our Instagram posts and recommended her. I've had a bunch of pipeline of people I wanted to get through, so I've been wanting to mention LP Giobbe for a while. So shout out to Aki for amending and, you know, getting me onto her, because really I've just been listening to her a lot this week. But also, more importantly than that, we talked about it a little bit on this podcast episode before, but female representation in EDM. LP Giobbe is a person who's actually going out there and doing something about it. She has an educational platform called Femme House, and essentially it's addressing all of the underrepresentation that there is in the EDM scene that we have kind of described, but it goes a step beyond that. It's not just an awareness program. It actually provides resources to help young, up and coming, or not even young, just female producers and DJs in general get better, learn from LPGOB, learn from other people. So there's a bunch of courses and resources on our website. Again, this will all be in the show notes, but I think that was a particularly important thing to highlight because I love it when DJs go above and beyond just from the music, the more than just music, because they understand that music's intertwined and ingrained in culture. So if they can have an influence on culture in a positive way, they go ahead and do it. And she is, you know, no exception to that. She's a person that has done that. So I really, you know, props to her for doing that. On top of that, I mean, this is a girl who does a lot. She also has her own fashion line, right? And it's pretty darn nifty. You got to check that out. I'll also put that in there. And then lastly, on top of all this producing, running Femme House, having her own fashion line, she also helps run Sophie Tucker's Animal Talk label. So there's a lot that goes on there that she's doing. She is somebody that I like Aki is going to really start blowing up soon, I believe. I think 2020 and 2021 is going to be a big year for them both, but I think it's also going to be a very big year for LPGOB. So shout out to you. You know, I think it's just fantastic what you're doing. Keep up the great work, and on all fronts, not just the music, but on all fronts.
Dude, I love the passion, man. That was awesome. Man.
When I pick people, I always have passion for this, man. But she really a lot of passion for this one, just because, again, like, I just really respect what she's doing, right, from a musical standpoint, as well. Hell yeah, man. Like, definitely. I hope we get to talk to her sometime. It would be really, I feel like she has a very interesting story.
Absolutely. And you know what's actually funny, Alec? When Aki, our friend Aki, had, you know, recommended LPGOB to us, LPGOB was actually at that Higher Ground party. She played at that Higher Ground party, I believe.
Oh, no way.
In the inside room. But, you know, prior to me heading over to the Matt Deason Higher Ground party, I did check out some of her tracks like Ready to Go and Slither In, which I really, really enjoyed. So I'm really pumped up that we got a chance to, you know, also feature her on the show here as an artist that we're watching. Fantastic pick, man. I had no idea that she was so busy and doing all these different things, but killing it in every aspect of her life. That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Just contributing in a larger way than just music. I have a lot of respect for artists that do that. So, yeah, shout out to her.
All right. Well, I'll guess I'll move into my artist that we're watching this
week.
Hell yeah,
dude.
Listeners,
take it away.
Listeners, we're moving into some more chill, kind of lo-fi electronic music right now. I want to talk to you guys about Lionclad from Seoul, South Korea. Okay, there's a reason why I'm talking about Lionclad this week, but before we get into that, I want you guys to take a listen to her song Injection. You can hear it building up in the background. This is Lionclad with her track Injection. Take a listen.
My man, you're really hitting it hard with this type of music, man. I love kind of the more funky, lo-fi, chill style that you're going for.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what, man. You know, what got me into her music was she was actually one of the performers at the Goldie Awards this past Thursday. You know, the award show I was talking about. Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you, man, she was blowing everyone's mind, okay? I don't know what it was about her beats, but it was like, it hit me in my head and in my heart and in my feet and my booty perfectly, okay? I'm trying to figure out a way to describe her music, but you know, as I'm sure you guys have already heard, very chill, very laid back, but the beat drops at the right time. And the same thing happened when she was doing both of her beats. Actually, she did three beats because she was actually one of the eight contestants, then selected for the second round, and she actually ended up winning the beat battle at the Goldie Awards. Okay, guys, she has 338 followers on SoundCloud and about 8,000 followers on Instagram. I think she also really enjoys, like, you know, just trying on different types of outfits, and I think that's really caught on for her on Instagram, like her fashion sense. And you could definitely see that with her as well, like when we saw her perform, you know, I really liked her fashion sense. But one thing I love about seeing her live was that she had a great way of building the tension with these minimalistic pads and these synths that she was using. But it got to the point, it got so tense in that room that people were like itching to, for the beat to drop. And when it dropped, dude, you could just hear the whole crowd react, man. It was absolutely amazing. It grabbed my attention near immediately. And I actually got a chance to meet her because during the intermission of the beat battle, between the beat battle and the DJ battle, you know, the performers came down to the crowd and she was so, so, so sweet. I believe that was her also her first time in New York, and I believe maybe her first time doing a beat battle as well. And what a way, dude. I mean, what a way to cinch your first beat battle by winning the Goldie Awards that's put on by A-Track. So just a massive shout out to Lion Cloud, man. I mean, this woman, she's going to go places, dude. I have a really good feeling about her, and I cannot wait to see her blow up because I really think the future is bright for her. Yeah, I'm just really digging this chill music right now, man. I'm in a very chilled out mood.
You're on a
yeah.
kick. But that's awesome. I wish, you know, maybe we'll have to ask that person who told you the move if she has videos, if they have videos of her performing.
Yeah, yeah. I bet the back of my head will be in her video. She'll be like, oh, God damn it. Get this guy out of here. Dude, this was fun. You know, this is really, really fun. We talked about a lot of good stuff here.
We did, man. This was, again, like another great episode. I hope it was, at least. I mean, and listeners, on that note, please let us know what you think. We genuinely would love and appreciate any feedback that you give, whether it's positive or negative. You know, if you have any positive comments or you just want to give us a review in general, please drop us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long, long way to spreading the EDM love and our voices to all of you. We really just want to create a movement out here, and that goes a long way to it. You can also feel free just to reach out to us on Twitter. It's at podbtb, or on Instagram, btb.pod. But Samir, that's everything on my end, man. Thank you again for another great episode.
Dude, thank you. Are you guys kidding me, man? Thank you. And listeners, thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 35 of Beyond the Beats. But we will be back next week in your ears, in your ear canals for episode 36. So stay tuned. We got more coming at you. Peace.